Bill C-51, the so-called anti-terrorism bill, is just a short ways away from becoming law. But the critics say it infringes on the rights of Canadians. They warn it gives the government new power to interfere with privacy and the power to target environmental groups and First Nations. Supporters, including the Conservative government, say it's an essential tool in fighting threats to Canada itself. And for more on this, I'm joined by Bob Zimmer. He's the Conservative Member of Parliament for Prince George, Peace River. He's with me on the line this morning. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Russell.
I want to start with just a direct question. Why should we trust you with this information?
Well, the fact of the matter is the Canadian public has entrusted us with government, and that's we're given a majority in 2011, and so it's our responsibility to keep Canadians safe, and this bill means to do that.
How has the public not been safe up to this point?
Some of the changes in the Act that the Anti-Terrorism Act means to change is the new threat of online terrorism and the way that terrorists organize themselves. And this bill means to target those means that they use and means to get terrorists at the source where they're starting to promote terrorism online. And that's just a small part of it. But to be clear, many definitions of terrorism have been mentioned in the last little while in concerns with our bill. But even the Merriam-Webster definition, the use of violent acts to frighten the people in an area of the way of trying to achieve a political goal. The key word there is not the politics of it, but the violence. And if you're going to use violence as a means to an end to you, to what you're trying to achieve, then we're going to try and stop that.
Why do you think this legislation has come under such criticism for its lack of respect for privacy?
Well, I think there's a couple of things at play. There's obviously an election that's coming up in 2015, and we know that there's certain groups that want us to be in government after October 19th. So I think that's a lot of the websites and a lot of the sort of the angst about it is by these groups. And it's gotten some other people concerned that I would say don't need to be concerned. If you look at the actual bill, like I challenge most
people. Why don't they need to be concerned?
I communicate a lot on Twitter with a lot of constituents.
Mm-hmm.
And once I just say, just look at the bill, just have a look at it yourself and then make up your own mind rather than just believe what other pundits are saying. And most people come back and realize it's what they would expect in an anti-terrorism bill, and it means to crack down on terrorism in Canada, and that's what we're doing.
In some cases, we saw the RCMP stopped 10 Canadians from going to the Middle East last week. They were believed to be going over to join the Islamic State fighters. They were arrested, passports taken away. It was all done without Bill C-51.
Yeah.
Why was that effective?
Well, it's still they're under the direction of trying finding a terrorist themselves and that, and going over and participating in terrorist activity. This bill means to get even more broad in terms of looking at it. You know, before a fire becomes a fire, it's a spark, and we're trying to find it when it's becoming a spark, and this spark is starting to spread within our Canadian communities, and that's where we're trying to nip it in the bud, and that's what this act is going to do.
It would seem that if you take a look at what's been going on with the Canada Revenue Agency, is that the government seems to have targeted groups in the past that are politically opposed or seem to have a position that's opposed to what the government puts forward. What do you say to people who say that Bill C-51 allows you to have even broader scope to go after like this?
Actually, it doesn't. If you read Bill C-51, you'd realize that it's got judicial oversight, which means it's not the politicians that are going to have oversight and who gets looked at and who doesn't. It's the judge that's ultimately going to make that decision with the police force and CSIS. It's going to make that decision. We're going to be, once the law has been enacted, we're going to stand back and hopefully this will take care of terrorist activity. To speak to the Canada Revenue Agency, though, groups, nonprofit groups, are looked at across the spectrum. And some have been saying that we've been targeting groups. That's absolutely not the case here. We don't even know who gets a look at until CRA announces who it's looking at. So it's not because some minister is saying this is the way it's going to be. It's CRA itself looking into groups as it always does and always has done.
I want to talk about some of the issues around protesting, because there's certainly some concerns that people who block railways, block pipelines or highway issues, things like, I guess, what might be considered critical infrastructure to Canada, depends on who's interpreting it, they feel that their position to protest peacefully or to draw attention to projects that are harmful to the environment, that sort of thing would be under threat under Bill C-51.
Not in the least. If protesters are going to come out and protest peacefully and not commit acts of violence, I don't think they have one thing to worry about. I mean, we live in a democratic society. Freedom of speech is going to be undergirded right now and will continue to be in our Constitution. So C-51 doesn't usurp our Constitution. The Constitution backstops this. So I don't think people have anything to be worried about in terms of a peaceful protest in Canada. And again, this is more of the rhetoric of what's come out from people that are concerned about the bill who haven't actually read the bill.
You know, in the States, for example, there's been a lot of criticism of the American government over the way it's approached surveillance of its citizenship. And certainly there's a lot of discussion and hand-wringing over the idea of how much say or how much access to information the government should have. This bill seems to be a few years too late. This sort of thing is the thing they're backing away from in the States, and we seem to be ramping up for it.
Well, I don't know about that. I think the Boston bomber just over a year ago has proven that the terrorist threat within the U.S. is as real as it's ever been.
How was surveillance information used to capture him?
Or to prevent him from doing what he had to do. That's exactly my point, though, is we need to be able to capture the Boston-type bombers before the bomber even has a chance to do what he's going to do. So if we can capture these guys before these acts are committed, that's, again, what this bill is meaning to do, and to get these guys, you know, again, before it becomes a flame, get them when they're a spark, and again, nip it in the bud. You know, I think most Canadians are behind this, and they want to be protected in Canada. I was one of the ones that lived through the experience October 22nd, where literally a guy with a gun that was a terrorist ran through about 20 feet away from where I was standing. And so the terrorist threat is real in Canada, and again, it's our obligation to protect Canadians, and that's exactly what we're doing with C-51.
Do you feel it's real throughout Canada, though? I mean, I can understand why it would be a traumatic experience for people on Parliament Hill and people like yourself, but do you think the average Canadian needs to worry about this quite the same extent? Not all of us work on Parliament Hill.
No, absolutely. But I think when Canada is mentioned by ISIL directly as a threat, they want to threaten us as Canadians in their documents and their statements. We're a target of theirs. Who they're going to hit next specifically, maybe Ottawa is more of an obvious target, but they've mentioned Canada and Canadians. So in saying that, I don't know where the next target's going to be, but they've made a broad threat to Westerners and with broad strokes of Canadians. So where that attack is going to happen, I'm not sure. But again, this is why we need this bill, to protect Canadians wherever they are in Canada.
Certainly, Mr. Zimmer, you're part of the government today. But as we all know, governments change over time, and other parties may come to power. And we don't really know what kind of government may come to come to power in this country in the future. Right. What kind of limitations exist in Bill C-51 to limit your government or future governments from interpretations?
No law of a current government can hold to account a government that basically forms the next power, a next government in power. Every government has a right to say and make its own laws in its own time. We make our laws in our particular government, and again, voters will go to the polls October 19th, and the government that forms afterwards can make its own decisions, and that will continue after this bill.
How much of an opportunity will there be to limit the life of this bill? Is this sort of the thing that we're in perpetuity? This is the sort of thing we're going to have to live with in Canada?
Well, I think until the terrorist threat abates, I think the law is going to be appropriate. And, you know, the bottom line is, you know, concerned about terrorist activity and whether people are going to have freedom of speech. If you're not going to perform terrorist activities, you have nothing to worry about in Canada. So if you're not going to terrorize Canadians with threats and acts of violence, you really have nothing to worry about.
unless something is misinterpreted by something you say publicly.
Well, it's all backstopped by the Constitution and judicial oversight, so it's there.
Mr. Zimmer, thank you so much for your time and expanding on this for us. We really appreciate you coming on the air with us this morning.
Appreciate the time, Russell. Have a good day.
You too.